Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Mem Ches. We will begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Zayinam Beis. Someone says, Hareini Olecho Cherim. Somebody makes an extension, makes a declaration that you may not benefit from me with a Cherim. And the Ran reminds us, a Gemara that we've learned previously, that the word Cherim can have one of two meanings. Cherim could either mean Beda Kabayis, another way of saying Hegdish, or Cherim can mean Cherme Kohanim. And as we had learned previously, the Gemara said in Daf Yud Ches, that in Golul, in the area of Golul, when somebody uses the word Cherim, it means always Beda Kabayis. They weren't familiar with Cherme Kohanim. Kohanim did not live there. And the Ran explains that our Mishnah is referring to Golul, where a person, when he uses the word Cherim, means Beda Kabayis. The Gra quotes a Rashba that says that even though, as we previously learned, the word Cherim has two meanings, if somebody went ahead to use the words Hareini Olecho, that's a clear indication that he means Beda Kabayis, that he means Hegdish, and therefore no matter where this nether was made, it would be a nether of Hegdish. And so the Mishnah says, if I said that you may not benefit from my Nechasim, Hamuda Asa, so you're not allowed to benefit from my Nechasim. We also are reminded of the machloikis of the Ran and the Rambam. That the Ran says that if I make a neder that you're not allowed to benefit from my property, even though you didn't make the neder, you didn't initiate the neder, since I have the right to make the neder because it's my property, if you violate the neder, you're oivad aver bal yachal dvaray. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, certainly you're not allowed to violate the nether, but you can't be over an aveira by Yachad Dvari if it wasn't you that made the nether. If I said, Hare at Olai Cherim, that I may not be benefit from you, there Hanoidar also, I may not benefit from you. If I say, Hareini Olecho Vat Olai, I may not benefit from you and you may not benefit from me, then Shnei Masru and we can't benefit from each other. And as the Rosh points out, there's really no chiddush in this line of Hareini Olecho Vatalai. It's just a combination of the two previous declarations. And the reason the Mishnah says this din, says the Rosh, is only to remain consistent. Here we're saying Shnei Masurim. In a moment we're going to learn a situation with Shnei Mutarim, so the Mishnah is giving us the contrast. V'Shnei Mutarim B'Tavar Shal Eile Bavel. Even though I may not benefit from you and you may not benefit from me, items that are considered items of Oily Bavel, which we'll give examples for in a moment, are we may benefit from. However, Vasurim B'Dovah Shalai Seir, items that fall under the category of Dovah Shalai Seir, we may not benefit from. Ezu Dovah Shalai Bavel, what is example of Dovah Shalai Bavel? Kigon Harabayis, the Hazorois, the Harabayis that belongs to all of Klai Yisrael, the Hazorois of the Beis HaMikdash, Vabor Shebeemtza HaDerech, they used to make water pits for the oily regolim as they were going up to Eretz Yisrael to have water available to them. All of these are in the category of oily bovel. Eza dovish loisa ir, that if we can't benefit from each other, we can't benefit from these items. Kigana rechava, a number of pshatim and rechava, some say mean the marketplace that exists. Others say that rechava means the place where they used to conduct the spadim. The merchatz, merchatz is, as we learned, the bathhouse. Beis HaKnesses is the shul. The hateva is the place where the svarim are kept, the place where the Aron HaKodesh, the bima. Hasfarim, and the different svarim that are in the shul that belong to everyone. So our Mishnah just taught us there's a difference between things that belong to Oilei Bavel versus things that belong to Oseir. Why is there a halachic difference? So some Rishonim explain, Dvarim Shel Oilei Bavel don't really belong to anybody. They're like in the category of Hefker. Since it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, they're in the category of Hefker. The Rishonim go on to say, how do we know? What's the test to know if something is the category of Oilei Bavel or in the category of Oseir? The Gemara Masechta Tainus discusses how items could be sold B'Zayin Tuveir, sometimes communal assets can be sold. Anything that can be sold through that process falls under the category of Oisohi'ir. Anything that can't be sold in that process falls under the category of Oily Bovel. And as I said, some Rishonim say because all items that are in Oily Bovel are considered like Hefker, no owner. So I'm not benefiting from you, you're not benefiting from me because we're not owners of these items. Other Rishonim explain, that's the Rambam's opinion, something that belongs to Oily Bovel belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. And because it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of members of Klal Yisrael. So everybody's percentage share in these items is extremely minimal. And therefore, I'm not really benefiting from you because how much do you own in this item? A third opinion, which I saw from Menachem Zemba, has very significant halachic ramifications. Rav Nachum Zemba, and this is the forerunner of what is known as a corporation, says that there's a concept of every individual Jew. We could have a situation that all Jews join together to be partners. And then we could have something called Knesset Yisrael. It's a new entity called Knesset Yisrael. Oile Bovel, something that's owned by Oile Bovel, the Beis Hamikdash, for example, is not something that's owned by me, by you, by a lot of people in partnership. It's owned by this new entity called Knesset Yisrael, which will be similar to what is known as a corporation. The corporation owns the assets of a company. I could be a shareholder, I could be the only shareholder. But it's this new entity called the corporation, a new entity called Knesset Yisrael. There are very significant halachic ramifications to the different pshatim that I gave. Rav Nachum Zemba gives the following example. We know that to be mechayiv, to take off trumas and maestras from my fruit, it has to enter my chotzer. So let's say I have fruit, I have produce, from which trumas and maestras was not removed, and it's brought into the azara. So if the azara is considered a partnership of all of Klal Yisrael, so I'm a member of Klal Yisrael, I'm a partner in the Azara, so it's considered as if it came into my chatzar. But if we say that there's a new entity, Knesset Yisrael, but it's not my Azara, then I would not be Mechoy Biet and Shumas and Maestras, even if the produce came into the Azara. That's the definition of items that belong to Oily Bovel. On the other hand, items that belong to Oisohi'ir, we're all partners in the shul that we daven in, and since we're all partners in the shul that we daven in, so if you're going to benefit from the shul and you're not going to benefit from me, or vice versa, you couldn't come into the shul. The Mefarshim also discuss that why are Svarim considered items that you can't benefit from? We've quoted many times the rule of mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu. What do you do with Svarim? You learn with Svarim. So even if you're benefiting from my sefer, that, or you're benefiting from the sefer that I'm a partner in, the Svarim are really... we're all partners in the Sefer, but to say you're not having a no, mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. So I saw two answers. One answer is that, yes, you're benefiting from the Sefer, and it's a benefit of mitzvah. But let's say you need a Sefer, and you don't have that Sefer. You need a Siddur, you need a Chumash, you need a Gemara. If you didn't have this Sefer that's available from the shul, from the community, you'd have to go buy one. That costs money. So you're benefiting by not having to spend your own money to get that safer. But the Taz says another teretz, very, very fundamental teretz. He says, even though we've learned many times the concept of mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu, what that means to say is that let's say somebody takes the dal minim on Sukkos, and he enjoys taking the dal minim. That's not called a hanah. It's a mitzvah. Learning Torah is different. Torah, Kudi Hashem Yishorim, Sam Chelev, Torah represents Simcha, and since Torah represents Simcha, Kudi Hashem Yishorim, Sam Chelev, we can't apply the concept of the mitzvah Lav Lehenes Nitnu. And that's why, when we say Birchas HaTorah every morning, we say V'harevno Hashem Elokeinu, as Divrei Talmud Torah Secha. Torah is supposed to be enjoyable, it's supposed to be sweet. Torah does require Hanah. And in fact, Egli Tal, and the Agdama to his Sefer says that an important component to be Mekayim, the mitzvah Talmud Torah, is that the mitzvah comes with an enjoyment, a geschmack in learning. The Mefarshim also ask that, let's say you're a member of a very large community, And we're only one member of the community. So you're not a benefit for me, but I have a very small share in the assets of this community. There are a lot of members in the community. There are a lot of members in the shul. So why is that considered you're benefiting from me? There's really, I'm bottle beroiv. I may be bottle in thousands. So the Chasam Sofer says the Gemara, the Mishnah possibly could have gone with that approach. But the Mishnah, as we're going to learn right now, teaches us there's another way of avoiding the problem. Teaches us the Mishnah. The Kais of Chelka L'Nasi. So we have this situation where we're both members of the same shul. We're not allowed to benefit from each other, so we want to go to shul to daven. We want to use the sidurim, the chumashim of the shul. How can we? So the Mishnah teaches us we should write over each one of our shares to the Nasi. So I don't have a share in the shul anymore. It's the Nasi's. You don't have a share in the shul. It's the Nasi's, and therefore we'll be able to enjoy benefit from the items of the shul. Rav Yehuda says, Echad Kaisiv L'Nasi V'Echad Kaisiv L'Hedjit. We can write over the assets to the Nasi or to any member of the shul. However, says Rav Yehuda, Ma Ben Kaisiv L'Nasi L'Kaisiv L'Hedjit. What is the halachic difference if it's a Nasi or it's anyone else? Says Rav Yehuda, Sh'Kaisiv L'Nasi Ain't Tzarech L'Zakos L'Hedjit Tzarech L'Zakos. We know that to effect a transaction, a kinyan is required. So if we want to affect this transaction, that my share is no longer my share, it's someone else's share, we have to go through a formal kinyan. Teaches us, Rabbi Yehuda, that's only if it's going to be that I'm giving over my share to another member of the community. But if I'm going to give over my share to the Nasi, a kinyan is not required. And the Rishayim discuss why is a kinyan not required. And there are basically two approaches. One approach is, because this is a special dispensation that Chazal gave to the Nasi because of his position, that even though for everyone else, if I wanted to give over my share, I have to go through a kinyan, to the Nasi, Hefker Bezdin Hefker, the Nasi has very strong authority. Taisus Yontov says, we wanted to come up with a way of avoiding this problem, and that's why Chazal gave the Nasi the special privilege. Other Rishonim explain in a very interesting fashion. Why is a kinyan required? In general in halacha, if I want to sell you something, why is a kinyan required? So the reason is, because until there's a kinyan, it doesn't show a finality. It doesn't show that we made a final decision to make this transaction. The kinyan, to use the halachic term, shows gemiras das, that we're completing this transaction. So if two individuals make a deal, we can't be sure that there's any gemira stas until there's a kinyan. But here we're talking about the Nasi, says Rabbi Yehuda. When somebody makes a transaction with the Nasi, even without the formal kinyan, there's a gemira stas, and that's why it's final. Rabbi Yehudaimer, Echad Kaisav, says the Chachamim, Echad Zev Echad Zev, Tzrichin L'Zakos, a Nasi should not be treated different than anyone else. But Dibra B'Nasi El B'Hoiva. So why the Tanakhama single out the Nasi? Said Chachamim, because typically, if we were going to write over the assets to a member of the community, who's the community member we're going to write it over to? To the Nasi. Why? Very simple. Because if I write it over to another member of the community, we may be right where we started. On the other hand, if we write it to the Nasi, it's unlikely that we're going to that the Nasi is going to be that petty and start saying, you can't enjoy my share. But the Ran takes this concept a step further. He says what the Mishnah is teaching us is, unlike what we learned in the previous Mishnah, where, and we're going to learn in the next Mishnah again, where if you're not allowed to benefit from me, and I want you to have some food, I see you don't have what to eat, I could give the food to a third party and he'll give you the food. So why is this Mishnah different? Why does the Mishnah have to say it? Says the Ran, in the case of our Mishnah, let's understand what's happening here. I'm not a benefit from you, you're not a benefit from me, we have a problem, we can't go to shul. So the Mishnah is saying, we have a way how you could avoid the problem. Write over your shears to the Nasi. So if you think about it, this is a harama, it's a trick. We're right where we started. I wanted to go to shul, I shouldn't be able to go to shul because of the nether, and the Mishnah teaches us some sort of a harama, how to avoid it. So that we would perhaps think that it should not be permitted. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that it is permitted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Anshe Gol Tzrichin Lichtoiv, In Gola, there's no requirement to write to the Nasi. Shekfar Kosa Avasema Yedeim, that's already been done. And the Gemara will explain this line soon. Says the Ran, that our entire Mishnah reflects the opinion of the Rabbanim, who hold Ein Breira. And therefore, if we're both members of the shul, and we're not allowed to benefit from each other, we both can't walk into the shul, because I may be walking on your area, you may be walking and using my items. But according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that holds Yesh Breira, as we learned in the first Mishnah of this parak, then our Mishnah, this would not be the din in our Mishnah. And we would say Yesh Breira, and when I use the shul, whoever Adav Mafreya, we're able to determine that what I'm using is mine, or anyone else's, just not yours. However, there's an interesting kasha. The Rambam, when he paskins both like the first Mishnah and like this Mishnah. So according to the Ran that we just quoted, it's a very difficult Rambam to understand. Because the first Mishnah, the Ran says, represents the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and this Mishnah represents the opinion of Chachamim. So how could the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim at the same time? So the Mefarshim tried to explain the Rambam. One explanation that I saw is that we explained the why do we follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Isn't this we paskin by the Raisa, the Dharma, the Raisa, Ein Breira? So we explained that since this is only a situation of Vitor, the case of the first Mishnah was just walking on your property, it's not a significant benefit, it's only a situation of Vitor. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, the Vitor is Mutter. Vitor is only drabonon, and that's why we say Ein Breira. So that's when it comes to walking in a shul, walking in a property. It's not really a significant benefit. But going to a shul and davening is already a significant benefit. There it's already not just a situation of Vitor. There it's already a situation of a real Doraisa. And the Rambam holds, by a Doraisa, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will agree, we say Ein Breira. That's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov could hold like the first Mishnah and this Mishnah. That's one pshat. Another pshat, going back to the Ran that we quoted at the beginning of the Perek, is we said that our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Perek, discusses a very small property that is not divisible, as we learned in the Gemara, Ein Bo Kedei Chalukah. And when we enter this relationship, we understood that we're going to have a joint ownership, and that was part of the original deal, that you own half, I own half, but we need to be able to live with each other. And therefore, it's not a typical case of Breira. That's when we're dealing with a small property, and that's the way the relationship was constructed. A shul isn't a partnership of two individuals of a small property. There, it's a regular partnership. And there, if we want to rely on Breira, it's the typical Breira, which is not acceptable by a Doraisa. So the Gemara in the Havamina, explains the Rishonim, seems to understand the Mishnah that a kosev nechosov lenasi, that even writing over your share in the shul to the nasi, would not be effective. And the Gemara asks, Amai Mitzvah, why isn't it effective? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Sheish is Hokitani. Umat takanosan. How, if we have the situation that we're not allowed to benefit from each other, but we still want to go to shul, we still want to use the svarim, the shul, what should we do? It says the Mishnah, Yichtavu chalkan lenasi, we should write over our shares to the nasi. We're going to skip the next couple of lines, which are in the parentheses. They're actually just a repetition of exactly what it says in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so we learned in the Mishnah, Ein anshi golol tzrichon zakas. There's no reason in golol to go through this process. Shekfa kosva avasem al yedeim. It's already been taken care of. Explains the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, anshi golol kantronim hayu. The people that lived in golol were people that got into fights. And they used to make these nedarim. So their forefathers got up. And there's two pshatim in the Rishonim how to explain this. One pshat is that their forefathers already went through the process of giving over the shares to the Nasi. So by the time one of these people want to go through the neder, it won't affect the assets in the shul. Could all the assets in the shul already written over to the Nasi? That's one pshat. Another pshat is their forefathers recognizing the behavioral traits of their descendants, took the approach of telling them, if you're going to get into these kind of altercations, write over your shears to the Nasi, and that will avoid the problem of how you could daven in the communal shul. Says the Mishnah, Hamuda Anom Chaveri, if somebody may not benefit from me, then like my yoichel, and now I see that this person doesn't have what to eat. Noisnul Acher L'shumatana, I could give the food that I want to see this person receive to another individual as a gift, and then V'alom Mutaba. And then the other individual, the person who may not benefit from me, may take the food because he's not getting it from me, he's getting it from this third party. So Rishonim ask that we already learned this din on Daf Mem Gimel. And why is our Mishnah repeating it? So I saw three terutzim to this question. One terutz is that really the main place that this din belongs is on Daf Mem Gimel. Our Mishnah is only repeating this din because it's introductory remarks to the case that we're going to learn that not always will this approach work. That's one approach in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is just the opposite. The proper place for this din is in the Mishnah that we're now learning. But since that Mishnah taught us different advice how to do this, so our Mishnah continues. That Mishnah also mentions this case, this advice, but the proper place for this approach is in our Mishnah. And the third approach that I saw in the Rishonim is that that Mishnah, as you will recall, speaks about a case where we're walking on the road, and it's me, and the individual who may not benefit from me, and a third individual. And therefore, since we're all walking on the road together, and we're not allowed to, and we have a problem, how could this person who doesn't have any food, but may not benefit from me, get something to eat? So we would think that only on those circumstances is this approach of me giving it to another person, him giving it to the person who may not benefit from me, acceptable. But in a situation where we're in the city, where there are other ways of this person receiving the food, this should not be an acceptable method. Teaches us the Mishnah that even in the city, not only in the road, as the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel discusses, but even in this case, it's acceptable. Says the Mishnah, Ma'aseh b'echav beis charan. There was an incident with someone who lived in beis charan. The person, Chmon Otzlan, had made a neder that his father may not benefit from him. And now the son was marrying off his son, and he wanted the grandfather of the chassan, his father, who may not benefit from him, to be able to attend the wedding. But he's making the wedding, and his father's not allowed to benefit from him. So what did he do? So he told the third party, I'm giving you as a gift the wedding hall, the food, so that now it's not me, it's not the son making the wedding, it's a third party making the wedding, and he could participate. So this party said, if you're giving it to me, I'm being magdished the entire wedding party. So the son says to this individual, Nusatil Khashali, that I give you all these items, that you should make a magdish. That wasn't my intention. The only reason you gave it to me, he says, is you wanted to have the best of both worlds, he says. You wanted to have this nether, that your father's not allowed to benefit from you, but you still wanted your father to be able to attend the wedding, enjoy each other's company, eat and drink together, and I, the third party, I'm not prepared to take that position. At that point, Chazal said, if the gift is not such a serious gift, to the degree that if I give it over, the person who I give it to should have the right to be magdashit, that's a right that's in a matana. And therefore, this approach of me giving it as a gift is unacceptable. Ask the Gemara, Maisel Listar. Ask the Gemara, our Mishnah started with the words that if this person can't benefit from me, there's a method for me to avoid the problem of giving what he can't benefit from me to third party. That's how the Mishnah began. And right away, the Mishnah tells us a story where this was not acceptable. And as the Rishonim explained, the typical way it works in a Mishnah, The typical way it works in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah, when it brings a story, it brings a story to corroborate what it says, not to contradict what it says. So how do we understand the flow of this Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Chasurim Echsev Achatani. Vim Chaychiach Soifa Tchilosoi. If the it's obvious that the gift is not an authentic gift, then Osir. Then it won't be an acceptable method. And says the Gemara, that's what the Mishnah means. Umayis Nami Beis Choron. There was such an incident in Beis Choron. Be'echadav Soifa Mechiach Tchilosoi. Where it was obvious that the gift wasn't real, because when the third party was Magdashit, the son got all upset, and therefore the gift is not considered an acceptable gift, and this method doesn't work. However, says Rava, Loishan of the Amalei, when does this approach not work? El the Amalei Vehinam Lufanecha El Kadeshiyava Abba. When I gave the gift to this person, I made it very clear that the condition is that my father should be able to come. Ava Amalei Shiye Lufanecha Shiyava Abba. If I said that I'm giving it to this person, then in order my father should come. But he did not make it a condition in the gift. Well, as I said it, but he didn't make it into condition. That's considered that I'm saying you do what you want. And even though it's very obvious, and I even said something, it will not be a problem. Lishna Chrina. The Lishna Chrina is a little more stringent. Lishna Chrina Amalei. Amar Rav Loi Tema the Amalei Vehinim Lefanech Huda Asar. That the only time it will be a problem is if I make it a condition that I'm only giving it to you as a gift in order that you should be able to give it to my father. But if I set anything less than that, it's not a problem. Says this Lishna Chrinan law. Aval, not like that. Aval Amalei Hein Lefanecha Shiyava Abba V'yoychel. If I said I'm giving it to you in order that my father should be able to eat, even though I didn't make an express condition, Mutter. Alafila Amalei Hein Lefanecha Yava Abba V'yoychel Asar. Even if I just said that that's my intention, it's Asr. My Tama. Why? So that's Mechachas Lav, because it's obvious what my intention are. So as the Ran explains this piece of Gemara, as long as I didn't say anything, it's a big rule in life, as long as I didn't say anything, I'm fine. It's only because I said something, and it made it obvious that the gift wasn't real, that's why it's Asr. But had I didn't say anything, so then, even though it's pretty obvious what my intent is, it's not a problem. But then the Ran quotes a machloikis Rajba and Rambam. What's going to be the halacha, says the Ran, if when I gave the gift to this third party, I said nothing. I gave it to him as a gift. After I gave it to him as a gift, then I said, but you know why I gave it to you as a gift? So you could invite my father. So the Ran says, since when I gave the gift, I didn't say anything, so it's not a problem. The fact that I spoke afterwards doesn't make a difference. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, even if I said something afterwards, after I already gave the gift, it would still be an indication that the gift wasn't authentic, and it would be a problem. However, the Kesef Mishnah says in explaining the Rambam that even though the Rambam says that if I said something after I gave the gift, it would also disqualify the gift, says the Kesef Mishnah, it's only if I said it right after I gave it as a gift. But let's say I gave it as a gift today, and then 2-3 days later, I meet the individual who I gave it as a gift. And I tell him, you know why I gave it to you as a gift, so you can invite my father? Even the Rambam will agree, says the Kesef Mishnah, that that is not connected to the gift at all, and the gift remains a valid gift, and this person can now invite the father and attend the wedding. Says the Gemara, who gave it the Havilei Barah? There was an individual who never had a son. The son was acting inappropriately. He was stealing different pshatim in the Rishonim. He was stealing cotton. He was stealing jewelry. And the father got very upset with the son. And the father said, I'm disinheriting my son. I don't want him to have a share of my estate. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, what happened here was that this father, we'll keep it a simple story, had two sons. He had one son that acted appropriately, and he had this other son that acted inappropriately. And because this other son acted inappropriately, the father said, I'm disinheriting him. Asrin l'nechseilei. He says, I'm disinheriting my son. Omlei, we have a babarach tzuv m'rabonim. So they said, before you disinherit your son, why don't you think? Maybe this son, who unfortunately is not acting properly, may have a son who will be a big Talmud Chacham. So why are you cutting off that entire family from a share of your estate? We have a Babarach Tzuvimer Abodamai, and what's going to be if you have a grandson who acts appropriately? Amalahan, Likni Hadeim. Then he said, if so, that I'm going to have a son, I may have a grandson that acts appropriately, so I want my son, who is not to get a share of my estate, to get it. If you have a Babarei Tzuvim Rabbanon, and if my grandson turns into being a Talmud Chacham, then Liknei, he should get the share. So again, what the father or the grandfather was saying is that I'm giving this share to my son on the condition that he has a son who's a Talmud Chacham. And if his son turns into being a Talmud Chacham, he should get that share. If he ends up not being a Talmud Chacham, then it should go to the to my other son, to the brother of this or uncle of the grand of the son. So Mefarshim asked, Rishonim asked, why do you have to make a, such a complicated story? Why don't he just give it directly to the son? Because as we to the grandson, as we're going to learn the Gemara now, there are all sorts of complications by this type of a gift. So why don't you just go give it directly to the son, directly to the grandson? So there are two answers in Rishonim. The simple answer is that the grandson wasn't born. He just said that if my son has a son who ends up being a Talmud Chacham, he should get it. But that he didn't have any children yet. He didn't have any grandchildren yet. Or even maybe some Rishonim explained the grandson was born, but he was too young to be a Talmud Chacham, so we don't know where he's going to be. And he's only willing to give it to this grandson if the grandson is a Talmud Chacham. So he had no option of giving it to the grandson. He gave it to the son on the condition that if you end up having a son who's a Talmud Chacham, fine. If not, it'll go to the other, to my other son. Amr Pibadisa. So Pibadisa says, Kni Amanas Lahaknasu. What kind of a kenyan here is? What kind of a kenyan do we have here? We have a kenyan where the person who's receiving the item has no rights to keep it. He's only acting as a transfer point. And says Pibadisa, V'kol Kni Amanas Lahaknois. Every kenyan where the person who's making the kenyan, the recipient, doesn't have any ownership, Loikani. It's not a valid kenyan. Asked the Mefarshim, and they discussed this concept a number of times in this blot, every Matanam Las Lahakhsir is that type. Matanam Las Lahakhsir, where do we have the most common situation Matanam Las Lahakhsir? Sukkos. The Halach is the Dal Mina must belong Lachem, must belong to you. Dal Mina must belong to you. And let's say you don't have your own Dal Mina, so I give you mine, Matanam Las Lahakhsir. So it's also something that's temporary. So why isn't it considered the same concern of Kni Amnas Lahaknois? So Mefarshim answered two approaches. In a Matan Amnas Lahakhsir, they really all are the same concept. While it's by you, albeit for a temporary time, it's completely by you. Here, it's not by you at all. So as the Rishonim say, for that period of time, you could even be Magdashit, going back to the previous sugya. You could be Magdashit, you would have to be Paidit, because you have to give it back to me. But it's completely yours. Here, it was never yours entirely. And therefore, Pumadisa suggests that this is not a valid approach. Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman k'nid kani. It is an appropriate kinyan. And Rav Nachman brings a raya. Dos sudra k'ni amanas lahaknasu. We know that one of the ways of affecting a kinyan is through chalipin. But there are two ways of doing chalipin. One is the old-fashioned barter. I have a cow, you have a donkey, and we're going to exchange. The halach is, if I'm exchanging my donkey for your cow, as soon as one of us receives the item, the kinyan is effective. But there's another form of a kinyan. Something that we commonly see. We see it by weddings, we see it by mechiras chametz, where the person who is buying gives his pen, gives a yarmulke, gives whatever, as a chalipin. It's a symbolic kinyan. Now let's understand. How does it work? When I give, if I'm the Rav, I'm giving you, and you're selling me your chametz, and I give you my yarmulke, I give you my pen, how does it work? You take the pen, and you give it right back. You're not keeping the pen. So we see the fact that you're not keeping it isn't the factor. So here too, the fact that the son, who's acting inappropriately, doesn't really get the father's share, shouldn't make a difference. That's what Rav Nachman says. Every time we do a kinyan chalipin, It's a case of Kinyan Manas Lahak Nasu, and it's still a valid Kinyan. Amar Rav Ashi. Says Rav Ashi, who says, Uman Lemel on the Sudra, Itofis Leiloi Matfis. Yes, we're used that when the Rav and the person selling him the Chometz, the Rav gives him his pen, the person always gives back the pen. That's because the person wants to give back his pen. But let's say the person wanted to hold on to the pen, he'd maybe be allowed to. So you're bringing a raya from the fact that he gives back the pen. The kerchief, who says that he's supposed to? Who says that he's obligated to give it back? The oid, even if you'll suggest that that is the halacha, when we affect the kinyan with this type of kinyan chalipin, sudri k'nei amnas lahaknis, the k'nim and hashta. When we're affecting a kinyan chalipin, when is the kinyan affected? Right here and now. But in our case, where the father is giving the son these assets in order that it should pass on to the grandson, if he'll be a Talmud Chacham, there is no kinyan now. The kinyan will only be much later. Right. Sudra kniyam nas lahachnois the karim and hashta. The kinyan is affected right now. However, in our case, halein nechosin the hadei l'emus akani, when do we want this kinyan to be affected? L'chahavu babaret sum rabbonim. Only when there's a grandson who's a Talmud Chacham. But at that point, l'chihavu hadas sudra l'mari. At that point, it's ready back to the owner. Amai ravala Rav Nachman. So that's why, says Rav Nachman, you can't, says the Gemara, even Rav Nachman will agree that this is not the same. And therefore, since the kinyan is not to be affected now, we only want it to be affected later, it's not a valid kinyan. Amlei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav Matanis, Beis Chorin, Rav Nachman is suggesting, asked the Gemara, that typically a kniya menas laknois does work. But let's look at our Mishnah. The case of the Matanis Beis Chorin is a situation of kniya menas lahaknisum. Again, let's review what we learned in the Mishnah. There's a father and a son. The father may not benefit from the son. So what does the son do? He gives the entire wedding party to outside individual who will be one owning the wedding party. So the Mishnah said, what's the problem with it? Because he really doesn't have ownership. It's really, it's all just a facade how to get it from the son to the father. But if the outside party, this third individual, really would have ownership of the wedding party, would be no problem. So what's the problem? Why doesn't he have ownership? Because it's not a real kinyan. It's only a kinyan. He only takes ownership in order to give it to the father. So doesn't our Mishnah prove that a kinyan, a kniyam nas lahaknois, is not a valid kinyan? Omalei, Mishnah de Sudasa Mechachaslov. Can't bring a ride from our Mishnah. As we've learned in the Gemara and the Mishnah, our Mishnah, it's very obvious that this is a trick, that it's only a way for the son to have the father attend the wedding. But in the case, so since it's a trick, it's an obvious haroma, that's why we're machmer. Here, where the grandfather is giving the son his assets in order that if he has a grandson who's a Talmud Chacham, he should get the share, it's real. So you can't compare the two cases. Another teretz, the Zibna Amalei, Rabbi Lezahid, Amar Afil Vitor Osra Muda Hano. Our Mishnah is referring to Nedarim. And we go back to the first Mishnah of our Perek, that we have learned, that Vitor, that we have a situation, that by Nedarim, any minimal benefit is Osra. That means, Rabbi Lezahid's opinion is, just to review as we've learned many times, that in those days, when somebody bought a pound of apples, it was very common that the shopkeeper would throw in an extra apple. That the halach is that if I'm not allowed to benefit from the shopkeeper, I'm not allowed to get that extra apple. Vitur also muda hano. What does that mean? That means by Nedarim we're very stringent. That's Nedarim. That's the case of our Mishnah. Therefore, if there's any hint of a haroma, we're machmer. That has nothing to do with the case of the grandfather and the grandson, which is not a situation of Nedarim where we don't have a concept that we have to be machmer. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Amr Chachamim, Kom Matanah She'ena, if the way of testing, if the Matanah is a real Matanah, is not. Shemek Dishetei Mekdashas, Aina Matana. The Mishnah ends with these words. It's a proof that it's not a real gift. Ask the Gemara, Kol Asui Mai. Whenever we have in the Mishnah the word Kol, it's coming to add an extra case. Lav Lasui Yohan Milsa. Isn't the word Kol in our Mishnah coming to teach us this case? The case of the grandfather and the grandson. And the Mishnah is coming to teach us that it's not a valid Kinyan. Says the Gemara, that's not what the Mishnah means. Lav Lasui Yohan Milsa the Shadji Bekipi. And to teach us that it's not a valid Kinyan. Says the Gemara, that's not what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us is Lishna Brais Basra the Shematza the Rava, the last line of the Gemara that we learned on Mar Aleph. That even though when I gave the gift to you, I gave the gift to this third party. I did not expressly make it into a condition. All I did was just say that I want that you should invite my father. Still, taught us the Gemara, that's obvious that the gift is not a real gift, and therefore it would be also to follow this method.